broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
They certainly don't walk around with a sign on them saying...
I think I said we should go out again. And he said that would be great.
The blacks. Ah, some of my best friends are black.
A few short weeks ago, I came to the House floor after having purchased an iPad.
George Bush doesn't care about children.
Yeah! All right! Live from Coachella. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And this is a radio show, by the way, that is radio for patriots by patriots. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this hour, my godson, Joe, is in Coachella, California tonight for the Coachella Music Festival. And I got a tweet. I saw his tweet there. I was actually going to ask him to call, you know, but...
Sure, have him call up.
I don't know. It's too much of a hassle. But anyway, his tweet was, you know, something, something. He's having a lot of fun. And then, but $9 beers, I ain't digging.
You're kidding me.
No, $9 beers. So they're, so it's nice to know that people are still entrepreneurially motivated, baby. And speaking of being motivated, on this radio show, lockstep together, shoulder to shoulder, arms locked, we walk right over top of the dumb, soft heads of liberals everywhere. 877-876-PHIL. The story here is about California mandating gay history in schools. California Senate mandates, now this is a bill, so it hasn't been passed yet, but the California Senate would mandate gay history in schools. We're going to have Doug Danger on, who is a gay man and a gay journalist, as he says. He is with the Orange County Courier to talk with us about this. In the meantime, State Senator Mark Leno, who's a Democrat from San Francisco, explained to MSNBC why he has pushed for this legislation.
You know, we are currently censoring our history books when we specifically exclude LGBT Americans from our lessons. Since the 1970s, our education code has required that the role and contributions of women, African Americans, Mexican Americans, Asian Americans, European Americans be included in our history studies. We are failing our students, and I can document that by the tragic and ever-growing epidemic of bullying on our school campuses, and we are not helping them by denying them the fact of a civil rights movement and that there is a history here and there have been leaders, not unlike Harvey Milk.
All right, so that is State Senator Mark Leno, and you heard him weighing in there on this bill that would mandate the teaching of gay history. Gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender people would be added to the lengthy list of social and ethnic groups that public schools must include in social studies. Joining me on the line, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier in Santa Ana, California. Doug, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very good, Phil. This is very welcome news.
All right, Doug, that's what I was going to ask you. The bill, if the bill is adopted, according to the story, by the State Assembly and signed by Governor Jerry Brown, it would become the first state to require the teaching of gay history. So you're very, very pleased, I take it, with this progress.
Well, first of all, the first thing I have to do is I have to ask, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I have worked and been out of the closet now for 90 days, so I've worked very hard, and I have worked a long, long road of discrimination and being looked down upon by straights to get to this point. So I have to ask every straight person that I know, and that would start with you, Phil. How do you feel about this?
I feel it's good. I think that history is important.
Yeah, but I can tell you there's a little bit of a qualification there in your voice.
No, there's no qualification. I think history is important. See, to me, history is truth. There's no fooling around with history. There's no people try to do it. People try to take history and they lie about it. They manipulate it. They say things happened that didn't happen. They say things had an effect that they didn't have. But there's no question at all, that gay people have throughout history played important parts in the development in fact, the other night I was talking about a man who was instrumental in breaking the German Enigma Code in World War II. He was a member of the MI6 group of British scientists and agents who broke the German code and allowed the Allies to eavesdrop on German communications in World War II. This poor man went to jail because he was a homosexual and eventually died.
name, though?
His name escapes me.
See, that right there. There. So I knew that I knew I'd get you. Because for a minute there, I was beginning to respect you, and I do respect you, Phil, and I think very highly of you, but you're straight. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And we have to educate the straight people, the straight kids, and the gay kids to the role that gay people played in. And for a minute there, I thought maybe you knew what you were talking about, but of course you don't. You're a straight man. And
what does that mean, of course I don't? The fact that I even know that information...
Well, you know that information because you read a book about World War II and about espionage. Just so happened the guy was gay.
Well, maybe it did just so happen the guy was gay, but I mean, it's information like that when I read information like that. But here's my question, the larger questions. We talk here with Doug Danger, folks, about a bill that would mandate the teaching of gay history in California schools. My question for you is the following thing. Are you satisfied with this bill? Are you satisfied with what it's calling for? Are you satisfied with the consult with teachers, with parents?
Well, that right there, you just said something that I'm not satisfied with. I believe that the role of parents is very important. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I think that the history of gay people in this country, the history of LGBT people in this country, has been kept away from the school books, it's been kept away from the kids long enough. And if this so-called consult with teachers and so-called consult with parents is an excuse just to drag this out, we won't stand for it. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. It's very important, Phil, that for thousands of years, gay people have been covered up in history. And so now there's a lot of work to be done. I mean, we need a kind of a gay affirmative action. I think that there needs to be a gay overlay on the historical narrative. And
what do you mean, gay affirmative action? You're talking about in employment?
No. I'm talking about in history. The other night you were talking about Abraham Lincoln, and you were mentioning that some of Lincoln's correspondence with some of his male friends seemed floral, and you said at the time that was normal for men, and you said it was normal for men to sleep in the same bed at that time.
It was.
All right, and that may be true. And it may be true that Abraham Lincoln was not gay.
Well, I don't think there's any indication, there's no evidence that Abraham Lincoln was gay.
Well, but you see... That may be, but the historical narrative I think we can lay on that is that he was gay. And why do I want to say that Abraham Lincoln was gay? I don't know whether he was or not, but I think the time has come for us whereby we have an affirmative action that we, if you will, we gay up history.
And gay up history. Now, that's exactly what I was just talking about. I said that history needs to be truth.
History is truth. It is truth.
How do you say that Abraham Lincoln was gay when you know that he wasn't?
I say that Abraham Lincoln was gay when I know that he wasn't because he slept in the same bed with men, and you could easily overlay a gay narrative on that. Same thing with James Buchanan.
I don't understand what that means, overlay a gay narrative. What does that mean?
He slept in the same bed with another guy.
Abraham, let me tell you this. Abraham Lincoln was a circuit lawyer, and in those days, literally, you rode the circuit. You were on horses, and you went from courthouse to courthouse with the same judges and the same lawyers. He, in fact, traveled the circuit at one time with William Seward, who became his Secretary of State. He and William Seward slept in the same bed. William Seward was about 5'0" with red hair. Abraham Lincoln was 6'5" with a beard. They probably looked ridiculous, sleeping head to toe.
Well, how do you know they weren't gay? Or had some kind of a gay romantic involvement?
A romantic involvement? I just got done telling you. It was a standard thing for men to share. It was a standard thing for lodgers to share the same bed. When you went to a rooming house in those days, you didn't get a room. You got part of a bed.
Well, again, and you can fancy it up all you want, Phil. We've got a lot of work to do. We have got gay people have been stepped on and kept out of the historical narrative of this country long enough, and we've got to gay it up, and we've got to make sure that young people especially know that gay people had a huge, huge process here.
By the way, that man's name was Alan Turing, the British agent who was involved in the cracking of the German Enigma code, a gay man who suffered greatly in his life for that. All right, we're talking here with Doug Danger. Our number is 877-876-7445. Parents have got to be involved in this process.
No, there's no time.
Parents have got to be involved in the process, Doug, only from the standpoint of implementing this narrative so that this narrative, listen to me, I'm using your word, this...
We want to make sure we got a gay narrative going here. James Buchanan, was he gay?
James Buchanan, look, But the parents, whatever you want to do, and I don't think you mess with history, whatever you want to do, you have to bring the parents into this and say to them, here is what we're going to be teaching, here is first grade, second grade, whatever.
There's no time, and gay people have been shut out. We've been shut out of the historical party like people who, you know, weren't wearing the right clothes. I mean, we didn't get past the velvet rope of history. Well, let me tell you something, Phil. It's been a long, hard road. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yeah.
All right, so that means that I've made it past a lot of velvet ropes in my time as a journalist, as a gay man, a gay journalist, but I haven't made it past the velvet rope of history, and all that's going to change. And so in order to do that, you want me to involve the parents. The parents are going to slow it up, gum it up, muck it up. And
the parents are always and will always be involved in when you consult on particularly controversial lines of curriculum. And
what's controversial about putting people in a history book?
There's nothing controversial about including gay people, but you have to let parents know, because it has been a controversial part of our society in terms of whether gay people are married. Some people may react really weird, you know.
No, we have mollycoddled people long enough. We've held their hand, we've wiped their rear ends, we've blown their noses, we've changed their diapers. You know, we've rinsed out their cotton diapers and given them those the plastic jobs that you snap the pamper. Is that it? I mean, we have a generation of parents that want a figurative Pampers diaper on their figurative, and they messed them, you know, figuratively messed themselves. So we have to figuratively put a pamper on them. And
what do you mean figuratively mess themselves? What is that?
I'm talking about what a bunch of babies they are. Parents are getting in the way, and we've got to begin now to get this gay narrative into our schools. And to that end, of course, our roadshow starts, as you know, Phil, next month. Where I'm going to be going to different elementary schools and different grade schools, bringing with me LGBT people. I'm bringing a couple of drag queens. And what we do is we show the kids what are we. And one of the parts of it is I bring in a lesbian woman, Candy Taylor. I don't know if you know her or not.
No. Well, yeah, I met her.
Okay. Well, Candy's real, real butch. And it's a part of the program we call What Is It? So she stands there, and I point at her, and I go, okay, kids, what is it? You know, what is it, a man, or what is it? You know.
Well, that's very respectful.
Oh, give me a break, will you?
Well, what is that, man?
So kids could be familiar with what a dyke looks like. You know, we have been shut out of the historical narrative. This is what we've been forced to do by straights to catch up. I got to go from one school to the next with a freak show. You think I want to do that? I would much rather have been able to say, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Hi, how you kids doing? And this is gay history. I can't do that now. We got to hurry up. So I got to go from town to town, school to school, like a traveling carnival freak. Like I got trailers full of freaks, and I got tattoos from here to there.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Our guest, Doug Danger, says, parents should not have a say in the teaching of gay history in our schools, the curriculum, and so forth, shouldn't they? Of course. 877-876-7445. Plus, I got to be honest with you, Doug is gay, but this whole traveling roadshow of LGBT and gay people, where he stands them up in front of the class and goes, what is it? We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour coming up next hour. And Margaret Gray is going to join myself, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard. She's going to sing a couple of songs for childhood obesity awareness. California Senate bill has been introduced that would mandate the teaching of gay history in schools. If the bill is adopted by the state assembly and signed by Governor Brown, it would become the first state, California would become the first state to require the teaching of gay history. Governor Brown has not indicated whether or not he supports the bill. I read a book on gay history called The Gay Metropolis. I love history. I don't think there's any history that shouldn't be taught. And we're certainly aware of the fact that African-American, especially our African-American soldiers, were locked out of history for so long. And now we're finding the contribution. All I'm saying to you, Doug, is this.
No, you're talking about involving the parents. And what you want to do is slow the process down, Phil. I know you're a good man.
And I don't want to slow the process down. I want to make sure that parents are involved in the knowledge that this is being taught.
Again, this slows the process down. It slows down, with all due respect to these parents who are going to attend a school board meeting. They're going to stand there and start asking, forgive me for saying this, but mostly stupid questions about, oh, is my kid going to go gay? You know, we've answered that question a million different ways. I don't want to go down that road anymore. And so we've got to get the curriculum in there tomorrow. We've got to get...
You'd do it that fast, wouldn't you?
You better believe it.
Tomorrow. If you could do it tomorrow.
Yeah, you better believe I would. What? You're the guy that says... I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? Okay, Phil? Phil.
Yes, I know that, man. But I'm saying to you...
Well, you know, look, your homophobia is your business, and you can deal with that any way you want. I mean, you've got to meet your maker someday. But
that's not homophobia, Doug. All I'm saying is you want to shove... And look at man, I believe in history, okay?
You almost said the phrase, shove it down our throats. How do you like that?
No, I said shove it into, I was going to say shove it into the curriculum.
No, you weren't. You were going to say you gays want to shove your lifestyle. Phil, you can pretend like you're liberal on this subject. And
I consider myself a conservative, and I think it is a conservative's position to embrace history in all of its truths. But to say that you want to jam this into the school curriculum without so much as consulting the parents, I think is wrong. Okay, and now you want to bring drag queens and gender benders to the elementary schools. You need the parents' permission. You need to explain this. You need to put it into context.
No way. No way. No. You're not slowing it down. You and the other straights are not slowing this down anymore. Okay, this freight train of history is on its way. We've been stepped on and slowed down long enough. Now, I'm going to bring in this lesbian that I know, Candy, and later on, as we do the presentation, I'll say to the kids, okay, now, here it is.
And here it is.
It's a guessing game, that's all.
877-876-7445 is the number. Let's take a phone call. Sean in Mobile, Alabama, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Sean, go ahead, please.
Yes, Phil. I am calling
yes,
to say, first off, here's the deal. We're all Americans, number one. The thing
right.
is, we know that gay Americans have done a lot for this nation, and I do not deny that. The thing is, what we have to do is, do you want to raise your children to believe certain things? I am a Christian, first off. I do not believe in homosexuality. I do not believe that you're born that way. I believe it is a choice.
The gay history is it's the freight train of inevitability, sir. You know, and
but you are saying you don't want to consult with a man like Sean or any of these parents.
Well, this man doesn't even think he thinks I chose this. Like I chose to be discriminated against. Like you chose
to
be black.
Hold on, sir.
Did you choose to be black, sir?
Did
you choose to be black?
Let me say this, my friend. First thing you did was say, as a black gay journalist, I want
no,
to.
I'm not black. I'm a white man. I'm a white man, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Yeah.
Okay, I apologize for that.
That's
first
right.
thing you said was gay journalist. The separation right. that you are putting out there is hurting Americans right now. You are just as bad as Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson to black people, okay? You are hurting the gay community. And the reason I'm saying that is because, like, for instance, Kobe Bryant got in trouble for saying a bad word, the F word. Now,
right.
I'm a black man that doesn't use the N-word, okay? I do not believe in the
right.
N-word. As far as I'm concerned, that's a word that's trash. Now,
I don't degrade anyone that uses that word, okay?
I just look at
another
okay,
white game.
As an American, you have free speech. Now, here's the deal. You guys want the freedoms of America, but then all of a sudden,
yeah.
soon as mud is thrown, you want to just jump up and go, oh, my God, I'm a victim.
You can't.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't jump up and say I'm a victim unless I'm beaten up, unless the law is broken. I don't jump up and say I'm a victim. If somebody discriminates against me, sure, I jump up and say I'm a victim.
But now,
I'm a gay man. Are you aware of the fact that I'm gay? Are you aware of the fact that I'm gay?
To apologize for saying the F word, okay?
Well, wouldn't you want me to apologize if I said the N word? Wouldn't you want me to apologize if I said the N word? Of course you would. You might even kick my ass.
I'm saying the truth. As an American, you have the right to say what you want to say. I'm not that word.
But I'm a gay. Are
you aware that I'm gay? I'm not that word. I'm a black American.
Are you aware that I'm gay?
You know I'm gay.
You know that I'm gay and I'll live my life. Am I gay?
That's perfect.
Phil Hendry.
Never did admit that I'm gay.
Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. Here with me is Doug Danger.
But you know that.
I know that, Doug. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier is joining us. He's a writer, gay man, gay journalist. I understand that. You're asking that last gentleman, you know I'm gay, and maybe his opinions about gay people perhaps or being gay was not the most enlightened, but the fact is he was making some points, and there you are with the N-word.
I didn't call him an N-word, Phil. I said I used the N-word, but only against white gays. And that must have stunned him because he didn't say nothing.
All right, we're talking here about California voting, at least the California State Senate has voted, to now begin to teach gay history in school. Now, this has not yet been passed. I don't know personally, and I'm a conservative through and through, and I don't know that this is necessarily a bad thing. I think that we need the history of our country. We've seen the damage that not telling the true story of history can do. It damaged a lot of great and brave people, black people, soldiers, all kinds of people. We're left out of the historical narrative of our country, and we finally recognize the contributions of all kinds of people. So I don't disagree with that.
Then why will you not allow that I have the traveling gay show? And
because you're treating it like it's a freak show. Now, let me ask you something. You said that parents should not be involved, that too much time has elapsed.
Well, you want to have the parents and the school boards involved in the slow implementation of this gay curriculum because you feel somehow the children will be, this is very sensitive material. You may be right, but the fact is we have waited too long to have gay history taught in schools. This is the super chief of historical imperative. Get out of the way. Get off the tracks. Society waited too long. Now, gay parents, that's a different story, of course, because we need to pass down the oral traditions of our culture to our young, to the gay, to the young gay ones. And so,
what is this again?
The gay parents would be involved in implementing the curriculum because they have certain oral traditions, like the Native American, passed down traditions and laws and culture from long ago, from one set of adults to the next. Gays have done the same thing. We've passed down the legacy of the gay, how gays did things, you know. But how did a gay, it may be something as stupid as how did gays make fire, you know.
How did gays make fire? You got to be kidding me.
I'm talking about the spoken tradition. Okay.
So, but here's the thing, you want gay parents involved, but not straight parents, and
yeah, because gay parents know the gay parents know the gay tradition. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm not gay, so I'm taking myself out of that particular equation. But I will tell you that once the gay parents have been involved in the implementation of the curriculum, and these traditions have been passed down, then we go to phase two and the traveling gay show. And
you got this thing. This is a freak show, and I really I warn you, Doug.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What are you warning me about?
I warn you that you run the risk of turning gay people into some kind of a traveling freak show, just as you said, and not people to be respected and people to be integrated into history. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Akron, Ohio. Nathan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Nathan. I think we can all agree that all three of us want the accurate teaching of history. And if we can all agree on that,
well,
then it seems like
Doug... I don't think Mr. Henry wants it... He wants people to run it.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
You're not advocating the teaching of accurate history. What you're advocating is the teaching of gay history, as exemplified through you saying that Abraham Lincoln is gay, regardless of whether that's factual or not. That's just how you want it taught.
We need to have that narrative because we've been cut out. We need to have some gay... There's got to be a gay somewhere.
Well, what does that mean, there's got to be a gay...
Why is sexuality so important to historical teaching? Why does it matter if you're married or unmarried or gay or straight as to your historical accomplishments?
Until we find out who the actual gay players of history were in American history and elsewhere, we're going to have some prominent gay figures. And I say we use ones that already have suspect behavior. And
boy, that is that you talk about stupid.
Stupid?
Yes, stupid. Stupid. Abraham Lincoln slept in the same bed with other men. That's what men did then. James Buchanan.
James Buchanan, you know, was, excuse my language, clear as a $3 bill.
No, I do not know that. In fact, the historical research now tells us that James Buchanan was simply asexual. He didn't have sex with women or men.
What are you talking about? Boy, you lie about anything, won't you? To get your way.
I'm not lying, man. I agree with Nathan. If you don't have accurate history, what's the point?
You would take a queer like James Buchanan and turn him into what?
You don't have any evidence that James Buchanan was gay.
You don't that he isn't.
I've got letters written, and I have the analysis of historians who say that James Buchanan simply was not interested in sex.
Yeah, right.
Doug, if we're...
Yes, sir.
If we're so concerned with teaching accurate history, what about the fact that the United States is based on Christian beliefs? Why are they no longer taught in history at the forefront? That's the basis of our country. That's an important part of history, and yet it's not really taught. What about that? Will you advocate for that as well?
You sound like that guy in Napoleon Dynamite, by the way. But I would say that...
What is that? Whatever that's supposed to mean.
Resorting to deflections and cheap insults.
I'm just saying, you sound
really
like the guy in Napoleon Dynamite.
Why don't you answer the question? Why do we no longer teach Christianity?
There's nothing wrong, and there are public schools that do comparative religious study when you're talking about religion from the standpoint of a historical study. There's nothing wrong with that, and I think we should do it. And I think there are schools that do it. But I don't believe we indoctrinate. I do believe, but I'm gay, all right? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That's all I care about. I care about the religion of gay. I care about the religion of queer, if you want to put it that way.
The religion of queer. And I want to ask, I'm going to find out about this spoken gay tradition.
Just like you never heard of Native Americans.
I've heard of Native Americans with a spoken tradition. I didn't know that gay people passed theirs down.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Doug, you're a gay journalist. Does the fact that you're gay make you a better or worse journalist?
Better.
Why is that significant to the fact you're a journalist?
Because I got a better BS detector. Because of all the years of discrimination, I got more of a BS detector than people. I know when someone's trying to, yank it and crank it, and I know when someone's giving me the straight scoop.
Oh, boy. All right, Nathan, thanks for your call, sir. Well, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, right? Right? Sir?
He knows that, man. He knows. Thanks very much, Nathan. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. And, so this idea that you need some gay affirmative action to overlay a gay historical narrative.
Exactly. Well, look at Phil. You look at a man. Let's take a historical figure like George Patton. George Patton was a great general. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Are you going to deny that because of me being gay? And having what we've called on your show many times, homo eye, or the ability to gay it up, or gay eye, or gay vision, I can look at a guy like George Patton and say, this guy carried ivory-handled revolvers, and he ain't queer? Yeah. All right, Mr. Homophobe.
Whoa, man. I'm a homophobe when you come off with a line like George Patton had ivory-handled revolvers, and he ain't queer.
Right. That's exactly what I said.
That's how you decide, huh?
I'm saying where there's smoke, there's fire. We've never been able to find out about George Patton because they've covered up the legacy and the history of George Patton because he's a great American and he did help win World War II. But let's face it, He's walking around in riding pants, got the ivory handle revolvers, looking for all the world like some kind of dancing queen. You know,
well, I wouldn't know, man. And I'll tell you this, of everybody I've ever talked to, you're the first guy that ever took one look at George Patton and said, he's got to be gay. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jason in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll try to get to my point quick. This guy, I don't understand what his agenda is. Hello?
Hello? I'm right here, sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Jason. We're here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I don't understand what his agenda is. I mean, is he trying to say that gays are more important than straight people in history? Because I thought, you know, I've always been taught that history was based on facts. And, you know, I don't understand the point of what it matters. You know,
well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. History is based on facts, but gay people have been shut out of history for so long, we've got to make up for lost time. So
you sound like someone who just bought a new sports car, you know. They go out, they tell all their friends, they're like, hey, you know, I got this new sports car. It's the best thing on the planet. I want to tell everybody about it. You know, you said you've only been out of the closet for 90 days. That's what it sounds like what you're doing. You're going out and you're trying to say, hey, I'm gay. Look at this. You know, it's the best thing on the planet. It's for everybody. Well, it's not for everybody.
No, you're missing my point. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? So I
know that. You keep saying
like
that.
To have been in the closet, right? Well, you know that?
It doesn't matter
there,
to me.
You know that I'm gay, though.
Look at Doug. Of course the man
yes,
knows
I
you're gay.
Do.
Everybody
of course.
Does.
You keep right. saying it. You said it 30 times in the last hour.
Well, you haven't referenced it at all. You're talking about all kinds of problems I got, but you never once said
I'm not saying you have any problem. I'm asking you questions, sir. I'm saying I don't understand your agenda. It's like, you know, anything on the left. You know, you try to put things out there to
right.
confuse the rest
right.
of the population into believing your side of the story. That's all you want is your side of the story. And I don't see your side of the story. I don't see the
significance. Well, sir, I'm not trying to confuse you.
But no, I agree with this young man because you liberals always, always, you don't mind being wrong so long as you got a fallback position. And you guys are wrong a lot, and you're proven wrong a lot. But that doesn't matter to you. You just go to your fallback position.
And what fallback position have I got?
Now yours is gay affirmative action. We'll take the narrative of history and overlay gayness on it because it isn't fair that we've been cut out of history.
That's exactly right. And I would ask you and this gentleman, all I'm bringing up is this, Jason. James Buchanan he was president of the United States, okay? You know James Buchanan?
I know who he is, yes.
Okay. This guy never got married. His niece was the official hostess of the White House. Queer?
You know, I think that's really messed up.
If you're trying to
get married,
James Buchanan or Abraham Lincoln were gay, you're barking up the wrong tree, sir, because I didn't know either one of those guys, and so I'm not going to believe it unless I hear it out of their mouths, which is never going to happen. So,
Abraham
you know,
Lincoln
you're just pushing your agenda. That's all you're
exactly.
doing is pushing your agenda like anyone on the left. You know, it doesn't matter who you hurt. You want to bring gays into the classroom, and you want to teach them that gay is the right way. All you're trying to say is
gay
is the right
way. And I'm saying that gay, no, I didn't say that. I said the gay is a way, and if there's a gay out there, you tell me it ain't George Patton.
That's the part I don't like. I mean, I agree with teaching history, and I agree with teaching all history. But when you start taking people and saying, well, we've been cut out of history so long, let's just make James Buchanan gay, or Abraham Lincoln gay, or George Patton gay. Why? Because he had ivory-handled revolvers.
That's right.
Yeah.
And nothing says dancing queen like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Doug, back when George Patton was carrying ivory-handled revolvers, that was the most expensive revolver that you could buy. It was the nicest thing. It was a way to show class. It was a way to show.
And that's why only queers had them.
No, queers didn't have any money back then any more than a straight person did.
Queers had more money than just like they got more money now.
All right.
You're making assumptions.
I think that this is a ridiculous argument.
Do you want people to make assumptions about you based on your sexuality? I don't
that
think
I'm
so.
Rich,
I think
yeah. That I'm rich, yeah. And gay people are rich. You know it. I know it. He knows it. She knows it.
I'm not making any assumptions about your sexuality. I'm not judging you. I'm saying
that you shouldn't force feed
it to our children in a way that
simply saying that history needs to be taught.
History does need to be taught, but accurate history needs to be taught, not phony baloney. Thank you very much, Jason, for your call. Not, you know, because he had ivory-handled revolvers, he was a dancing queen. Not because the guy never got married, you know, but because it's actual part of history.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, which you don't want me to say. And
I can't keep you from saying it, man.
Well, then, hear this and hear it real good. As a gay man, a gay journalist, I'm going to get the gay history curriculum into the schools under the auspices and guidance of gay parents and hand it down by from one gay chief to the next. And
you know, put him on hold, and I want to somebody get, what is this gay chief stuff?
What are you talking about?
I want to know whether there's such a thing as handing down the oral tradition of being gay.
Well,
don't get cute. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman coming up next hour in our news hour. And we'll be back with our final segment here with Doug Danger on whether or not gay history, gay history should be taught. History should be taught, but shouldn't parents have a greater hand in the teaching of it? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-BILL. That's 877-876-7445.
And we're online at philhenryshow.com. If you go to our website, get a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video in HD. Phil TV in HD on our website, philhenryshow.com. Doug Danger with us in our final segment here on the gay history being taught or possibly being taught in California schools. And let's go to Elizabeth in Houston, Texas. Elizabeth, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, please.
Well, hi. I'm a little bit nervous.
Yes, ma'am.
But I just have I just have one question for your guest. Are you a parent?
I'm an uncle.
Are you a parent?
An uncle.
You're an uncle.
You know what she's asking.
Are you a parent?
I'm an uncle.
Have you experienced bringing a life into this world that you're solely responsible for? Because what you're trying to do is deny a parent the right to be involved with their child.
What life did you bring into this world?
My German Shepherd had a litter.
Oh, will you get serious?
She asked if I brought life into this world, and I said yes. My German Shepherd had a litter.
That's not what she was asking.
Do you have a child? Are you a parent?
My dog. My dog.
Your dog. Well, that would... I'm a Southern lady, and I won't make that kind of a comment. However, until you have experienced bringing a life into this world that you are solely responsible for, and have someone stand up and tell you, you have no business what it's being taught, no business who's teaching it, no business what's parading around in front of my elementary school child. There may be parents who would agree with this curriculum, but you could not come to Southwest Texas and tell parents they have no business in their children's education. That's not going to work. I don't know many places that's going to work.
Ma'am, I can tell you this. Time's wasting. Gay people have been cut out of history long enough. And with my traveling gay show, which I'm going to have, and I think you'd like this, Elizabeth, and I do want your opinion. It's just that we've got to get going here. We've spent too much time.
No, you don't want our opinion.
You're wanting to
exclude the parents from the process.
Well, because a lot of these straights are bigots. You know, you sound like you're fair, but you know a lot of them are rednecks. Now, what I want to do is...
Boy, oh boy, you're really endearing yourself.
I have two sons who are history majors in college on their way to being teachers.
Yes, ma'am.
And they are purists, which isn't very popular in this revisionist type, you know, atmosphere in the political world. However, as a parent, if you try to parade a freak show through my child's elementary school, you will be stopped. parents have a say-so. If the parents stood up and said, okay, do this.
Excuse my language. I bring in a diesel dyke. Now, listen, I bring in this woman.
You already said you were going to bring drag queens as well.
Okay, so?
You said you would bring a drag queen into my nieces, my nephews, my child's elementary school.
No, I didn't say I'd bring it into your nieces and your nephews. I don't even know who you are. I'm going to bring it into their school. I don't even know where they go to school.
And so,
Doug, you're saying theoretically this is what you would do, though.
You're not wanting to know.
Now that I know who you are, I don't want to go anywhere near where you live.
Doug, you know what we're talking about. You're saying that you want to bring this into schools.
I'm bringing in one lesbian. God. And I'm putting her in front of the class and saying, what is it?
You said, out of your own mouth, I'm going to be bringing a drag queen.
Yeah, I'm going to bring a drag queen in, but I didn't know that you're going to make a big deal out of it. You know, most people...
That's because I'm a parent. See, you didn't know that a parent would make a big deal out of something like that. Because you're not a parent, you have no idea.
Downtown,
you have no perspective
Houston,
from a parent's point of view. You're not responsible for a human being. And turning that human being into a responsible, loving, caring, fair person on its way.
And if you wear jeans, does that make you a lesbian? No, but you wear jeans, right? So that's all I'm saying.
Whatever that means.
Exactly. I live in Southeast Texas. We all wear blue jeans, and we wear
blue. I don't know how to hear that.
Phil,
you all wear blue jeans. So do the cows.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and well, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and that's just that's the facts, Jack. And of course, this is radio for Patriots by Patriots. Welcome to the program tonight. We've got Art Griego on with us, Mr. Griego, who is a retired commercial pilot, and he's going to talk to us about the, I was going to say bizarre rant of the Southwest pilot. It wasn't bizarre, because I think if you're a man, you've probably heard that before from other men. But what was bizarre about it was that it was a rant by a Southwest pilot against gays, against ugly women, against old women, and just basically against the quality of people he had to party with once he landed in a city, the quality of people at Southwest hires. And this got out over the airwaves and was heard by air traffic controllers. And at one point, one of the air traffic controllers says to the pilot of the aircraft, I believe, or one of the other pilots that's nearby, says, tell him to shut up. Because this is being recorded and is being heard by the air traffic control center. So we're going to talk with Art Griego about that. We're going to start off with the Citizens Auxiliary Police and stepping up their patrol duties for the summer 2011. There is a training film that is called the Night Stalker Point of View or Stalker Point of View. It is a Citizens Auxiliary Police training film, a copy of which was received by one of the local newspapers, and we're going to have Jay Sanis on to explain this. It has an unusual point of view, and it is one that could have land the organization in a little bit of hot water. So he's going to be on to talk about this Stalker's Point of View training film that was produced by the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. We call it the Patriot Line, so you're invited to call us and to be a part of the evening's festivities. Of course, we always include in our welcomes every evening our affiliate spotlight. And tonight we spotlight WDTW in Detroit and KBBO Yakima, Washington, two stations along the Phil Hendry Radio Network. And if you're watching us in HD on Phil TV, then you have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website. If you don't, get one. Go to philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming.
Hey, what's more?
I got it. Our live streaming what?
I don't know.
You mean you don't know? Our live streaming video. That's it. our video cast here from the El Pacifico, and behind me the roiling surf of the El Pacifico, and right here is something that scares Bud. We call this the sun god face. Look at that.
It looks like a Japanese flag.
Oh, take it easy. 877-876-PHIL, on hold, and very patiently on hold. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, formed in 1997 in the South Bay of Southern California. The Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer, but more than just a volunteer police agency. It is an auxiliary police agency. It's not a vigilante group. These are men who consider themselves support, and that is auxiliary support for the police. Jay, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and always great for you to have us on your program. Appreciate it.
And I know that this has come as some bad, bad public relations for you, and that is this training film, correct?
Well, we are not exactly sure how or why this training film has been reviewed by, in two instances, the Santa Monica paper, as well as, I believe, one of the Palos Verdes dailies, and I think the L.A. Weekly also has a copy of it. We don't know why. It is a training film, and it's a training film that we use as a Citizens Auxiliary Police, as an auxiliary police agency. We're on the front lines of law enforcement, and what we're trying to do and what we're all about is saving lives. And if we cannot do that, if we are kept from doing that, if we are made a object of ridicule while we try to do that, then we don't feel there is much that can be done to enforce the law and to make our streets, make our homes all more important, Shirley, to make our homes safe.
Well, but you can't blame anybody other than somebody inside your organization for leaking this, right?
No, we don't necessarily think that is the case. We think that there was a copy of this film that was left out, and I would say that I would indict my organization only to the extent that we did not secure this film. It was then left in a place where it was compromised, secreted in some fashion by an individual who then took it and gave it to these news agencies. There is absolutely nothing on that film that in any way, shape, or form constitutes a criminal act. In point of fact, it is a film, it is a video of us trying to train our young men and women in being citizens auxiliary police officers.
All right, now let's tell people what is on this video. And I know you don't want me to do it. You'd rather do it.
Well, absolutely. The point that we tried to make when we were alerted to the fact that this had been leaked to the press was that this was a piece of video that was a training effort showing the criminal point of view. We've had, and I'm sure you understand, the rash of sexual assaults in the city of Los Angeles and in the outlying areas that begin, and law enforcement will tell you this, they begin as individuals who are stalking homes, looking through windows, and observing the occupants of those homes while they feel that they're not being observed, while they feel they are safe within the security of their own home. In point of fact, there's these peeping Toms.
And I understand that, and peeping Toms eventually, in many cases, become rapists. So I understand that.
Well, let me finish what it is that I'm trying to say, and I can get some questions. So, the training film is very simply one that was shot by myself and Randy Gleason, who's one of our sub-commanders. We also have Major Elvis Newton, who was bringing an equipment van, and I think we had Jerry Clemens too. Is that right, Randy? So Jerry Clemens is also one of our sub-commanders, and I think Jerry was with Major Newton in an equipment van. We used the equipment van to transport us from home to home. The film, or the video, is a point of view, and again, I want to underline that, point of view of a criminal.
And what does it show?
It shows the point of view, Mr. Henry, of the perpetrator.
All right, so it shows the point of view. So is this a video that shows women in their bedrooms?
It is a video, and here is where this is where we got into trouble, and this is where I believe a couple of these periodicals are going to be, you know, have done things actionable. I want to sue. And
all right, but I understand that you feel that you'd like to sue and that you've been misrepresented. Can you tell me what the video shows?
I will tell you what the video is about. It is the point of view of a peeping Tom. It is the point of view of an individual who could very well evolve into a violent criminal, a rapist, or worse. It is the point of view of a individual that stalks homes, that stalks neighborhoods, that goes door to door, house to house, and peers in the windows of unsuspecting people. This is very, very valuable training footage for those of us on the front lines of law enforcement.
All right. Now Jay, I don't want to embarrass you, and I know that...
We have done nothing, Phil, to be embarrassed about.
I understand that. But can you please tell me, if you wouldn't mind, what exactly is depicted so that we understand what the issues are here?
What is depicted is the point of view of a person who is invading the privacy of individual homes. It's what he sees as he goes along the darkened walls, if you will, and the shadows and areas of darkness and areas of cover in the out of doors at night, moving from one house to another house. So you're seeing...
Yeah, I know that, but that's not what caused the stir, because when this video...
You want me to tell you what is exactly in these videos, and I would ask you why.
Well, if you say this is the point of view of a peeping Tom, let me just ask you, do we see naked women?
We, when you say we don't see anything, because this was not intended for the general public. It's a training film. Now, this film was originally taken back, this video, I should call it, because it is video, it's digital video. The video was taken back to Subcommander Gleason's home. We were using one of the sheds in his backyard as one of our subcommander posts, and at that time, we took the video, and we had the other subcommanders there, as well as Major Newton and a couple of other people we know from retired law enforcement, and we reviewed the footage to make sure that we got the point of view that we wanted to get, and we judged it to be standard, we judged it to be suitable, we judged it to be perfectly suitable for what we wanted to do.
All right, we're talking here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They're being threatened with a couple of lawsuits and invasion of privacy, etc., because there is, training film that is called the Night Stalker Point of View. It was a piece of video footage shot from the point of view of a peeping Tom. Who was holding the camera?
That camera was mounted on a helmet that I was wearing. So it was a helmet cam. I was moving along the wall. I was being directed by Subcommander Gleason and Major Elvis Newton. They were directing me as to which angle to get, at which point of the house I should turn and look in the window, which point of the house I should move along the wall.
Okay, so you were the operator of the camera?
The camera was on my person.
But there were people directing you as to which way to turn?
That's correct, Richard. That's correct, yes.
Did you have a viewfinder?
I had one eye viewfinder. I had a viewfinder that snapped down from the camera that I could look at, yeah.
All right.
And you asked me that question, why? Because, I'll tell you why, Phil.
Well, I asked the question.
Let me tell you why, because I've had just about enough of people asking me questions about, did you get your, will you get your cookies looking at...
No, I'm not asking you that. I just wanted to know who was looking through this camera. Now, you say you weren't directing it, that the others were directing you, but you could see through the camera what you were looking at.
That is correct.
All right, what were you looking at?
I was looking at the point of view.
No, I've heard you say that already, Jay, but I mean, you know, let's be honest. Were you looking through bedroom windows at women dressing and undressing?
I was looking at what a peeping Tom, what a successful peek-a-tom would look at. In other words, if he were successful in his I don't know what they call it, you know, because I can be honest with you, I mean, we've busted these people before, but what they themselves call, if he was successful in his peekaboo, in a night of peekaboo, or however they do it, if he were successful, then he saw what I saw.
And that, I don't understand that. I don't understand.
In other words, Phil, if this were a peeping Tom who were successful at his peepee, not peaking, I'm sorry.
Yes, at successful at spying on people.
Exactly, at spying on people, then he would definitely have seen what I saw, and that's what makes it a good training film. And
why are you reluctant to tell me what it is that you saw?
I'm not reluctant. I don't think I need to. I think you can pretty much use your imagination. And
all right, so let me get this straight. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So,
And one more thing, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
We got probably 20 minutes of good footage. We were out 2 hours, but we only got 20 minutes of quality training footage. And we went back to the, as I said, the substation. There was some commentary that there was music or there was beer drinking. I can tell you that that is a slander. And
were you guys drinking beer watching this stuff? Because it has the feeling of a stag party.
Not at all. That is a lie that was perpetrated perpetrated for the most part by this newspaper reporter.
All right, Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. A training film that was produced by himself and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, where they literally were peeking in the windows of women changing their clothes. So they were giving you the point of view of a peeping Tom. Well, there's one problem with that. There's one problem with that. They are actually the peeping Toms. Now, they don't feel that way. They are not releasing the videotape. They are defending themselves against the threat of lawsuit, and they say that what they did absolutely did not violate the law. We're going to talk more with Jay, and we also want to get your feelings as well at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police about this Night Stalker training film that it literally was them filming women undressing, and they feel it was legal what they did to train their officers. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Another thing I want to see is, I got a copy of this.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome, folks, to our nightly Radio for Patriots by Patriots here from the El Pacifico in California across the country. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has joined us. We're going to talk with him in just a second about this training film that was not supposed to have seen the light of day, and I think I understand why. And they are maintaining that no law was broken, as they as a training film went out and rolled video footage walking along and peeping in windows. Their idea was to create a training film showing the criminal's point of view. 877-876-PHIL, a reminder that we are online at philhendryshow.com, and at our website you pick up a backstage pass. It gives you access to our Phil Show, our Phil TV in HD, our video casts each night, as well as our daily podcasts of the show, as well as our archives that go back some 15 years, thousands and thousands of hours, as well as our webisodes, as well as our rants, as well as our newsfeed. It's on and on and on, and stop by the Phil Hendry Show shop and pick up one of our best of CDs, our t-shirt, our mug, our shot glass. I mean, we got it all, man. It's like a supermarket over there, philhendryshow.com. All right, Jay, I want to get some people commenting on this. I also want you to tell me if you were out there doing what you were doing and a police officer rolled along, what do you think would have happened?
Well, Phil, we were out there, and again, this is something that you probably don't understand, probably a lot of your listeners don't understand. It's all about intent. If my intent is to simply make a training film of women that are of what a peeping Tom is going to do, then that's my intent. If a police officer came along at that time, there would have been professional courtesy. We certainly would have explained to him what we're doing, and we would have been a tip of the cap and on his merry way.
So a police officer in a black and white, while you guys are there in your camouflage as the Citizens Auxiliary Police, he sees you with a video camera on a helmet, and you're looking in women's windows. And
we are not in, and boy, I wish you'd get this, we are not there to look at these women as a sexual, what's the word that they use, prurient interest. We are looking at the situation so that we can take it back and train our sub-commander and how they're going to do it. But it has nothing whatsoever to do with our prurient interest or getting some kind of a sexual thrill seeing it. I will tell you this much, Phil. When we went back and reviewed the footage, women really do expose themselves. And so we want people to know that there are peep and Tom out there, and women are in the window. You can look in a bedroom window and see what they're doing, and I would say to a lot of husbands, they're probably not going to like me for this because I did have a camera on their wives. But I will tell you this, it's going to save their lives. And that's what we're about. We're about saving lives. The women who we filmed, even though they didn't know they were being filmed, would support the intent of this video given how we was able to show how exposed they is. And I think their husbands, had they known...
Let me, can I just say something to you? And
oh, I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that, I mean, the husbands would, if they'd found you out there, there would have been a riot. I mean...
Well, no, let's just remember what you're doing. We're dealing with Citizens Auxiliary Police. You know, we're going to explain to them, cool it down, back it up, you know, back way down, cool it way down, or cool it out. You know?
Well, I tell you, if I'm a husband, I come out around the side of my house, I see guys there with a camera looking in the window, I go back around inside my house with my shotgun, come out.
Okay, if you open up on me and I'm outside your house, you're getting, you're guilty of attempted murder.
I mean, I didn't say I'd open up, but I sure as hell would point that thing at you and tell you to get the hell lost. As a matter of fact, I'd have somebody in the house calling 911. I keep an eye on you jackasses.
You know, Phil, that...
I would.
Well, again, you don't understand anything about the law and intent. That's your number one problem.
877-876-PHIL. Oh, man, I wanted to get to some phone calls. All right, when we come back, we will get to the calls. I apologize, folks, but Jay Santos here, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, on this training film, The Point of View of a Peeping Tom. This thing got out. It has been looked at by the press, and they've got some problems. They don't think, though, that they have committed any crime. Your call's coming up at 877-876-PHIL. Be right back.
Well, you just keep running your mouth and...
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. We have a situation here where, a blatant piece of invasion of privacy, in my opinion, has taken place, and that is this training film.
Phil, that we have shown, we showed this training film to one, you mentioned husbands, we showed this training film to one of the husbands who we were able to sit down and show him this film. It was, in point of fact, a piece of footage of his own wife exposing herself in a bedroom right through the window. So if you had a camera, you look in, you see it all, and she was engaged in some very private activity. And I said to him, I said, look at this. As your wife's in there, with a window, you know.
Was the window open?
The window had, the shade was drawn and the curtain was drawn, but there was an area where the curtain was, had caught on a piece of lamp or had caught on a piece of table, I'm not sure which, in which case I was able to lower myself by a couple of degrees and then look up, and I caught her reflection in a mirror.
And so you had to go through all kinds of gymnastics to get a look at this woman.
She was engaged in a bit of personal grooming, which I showed to this gentleman, Lauren, who was her husband. I said, look at that. And I made a joke. I said, looks like she missed a spot, and he laughed. But these are two people that fully appreciate what we've done.
You know, I got to tell you, man, you're taking your life into your hands, you know.
Why is that?
Because I don't know about this man that you talked to. Any other husband, I think, would be violent. violent, knowing that you got a camera outside of his wife's bedroom and you've got pictures or video of her. You know,
we're not doing this for sexual prurient interest or to have a sexual, a lot of fun having sex. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it as a training film.
And this idea that if a cop came along and saw you doing this, and it would be, oh, yeah, sure, professional courtesy, that is another one that I have very, very serious questions about. Let's go to a phone call. Natalie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead, please.
Sir, you violated that woman's rights. Not only did you do that, but you instilled fear because the very people that were set out to protect her are the ones that violated her. You should be prosecuted.
Oh, we don't, man. No, we didn't violate her. I'm not taking that movie and going out and selling it so people can get their cookies. I'm using it as a training film for my sub-commanders so we know the mindset of the pervert that's doing that. That's a difference. That's a big difference.
That's not a difference. That's just making you the biggest pervert of all, because not only are you teaching other people how to do it.
No, ma'am. We're not teaching people how to do it. We're showing these our sub-commanders what are the tricks of the trade that a pervert is going to use, as I just explained to Mr. Henry and I explained to his audience. This woman had her window closed, her curtains drawn, and her blind pulled down, except for one thing she didn't think about, and that is that a peeping Tom who really, really wants to look is going to find a way. And
oh, well, I mean, sure. And so you looked for a way.
I don't understand what you're saying. Are you saying that I'm having fun doing this? Because I can tell you I'm not. I'm doing this to protect the women themselves. And there she is. If it was you, Natalie,
You didn't protect her. You violated her because you did not let her know that you were doing this ahead of time.
I did let her know. I let her know afterwards, and she wanted to know some information. And
you let her know afterwards?
Yes, sir.
And what did she say?
After I explained what we was doing, she went, we shook hands, and it was all big misunderstanding. So
that doesn't quite cut it.
It may not cut it for you, but I can ask you, ma'am, let me just ask you. If you caught me with my camera looking at you, and I told you the reason I'm doing this is for training my officers.
I would have been tempted to grab a gun.
Well, I don't believe that. I think you don't sound like a violent person. You sound like a reasonable woman. And even if I caught you getting up off a toilet. And
are you kidding, man? Are you serious?
My job is to know people, Phil. I think I know people pretty well. And this lady, she's a peaceful person. She's a truck driver. If you're a truck driver, what makes you think I'm going to want to get... Well, I better not say.
What does that mean?
Well, ma'am, is a peeping Tom really going to want to... You understand what I'm saying?
Do what?
If you say you're a truck driver, what peeping Tom's really going to want to linger longer than maybe like a second and a half and then go, okay, move on?
Oh, you're a jerk, too, because I'm a
driver. I'm asking, are you really all that much of a draw? All right, okay, I'm sorry.
What? You know, Jay... You know, the questions you're asking here, you get deeper and deeper as you dig these holes for yourselves. Thank you very much, Natalie. 877-876-PHIL. The question that I have is the following question. If a cop stops and sees you doing this, you feel you're okay.
Once we explain to the officer what we're doing, which is basically the intent is that I don't have any intent, especially if I was at the window of a woman such as Natalie, who is a fine lady, but she's a truck driver, and... I suppose if I wanted to, I could show the officer the footage of her, and he'd say, I'm sure you agree with me, there's nothing really going on there, so...
Oh, I see. So in other words, you film footage of a woman you may not think is attractive, and so therefore it couldn't possibly be for Peeping Tom purposes. It is strictly for the... it's not for you to get any prurient thrill, it's the Peeping Tom training film.
That is correct, yes, sir.
And if you happen to have a really attractive woman on film, I wonder what the answer is. 877-876-PHIL. Dale in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Dale. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi. What I was actually
wondering
is why didn't they not stage the film, the training film, instead of going out and invading people's privacies? They could have actually hired models or actors and staged it and got their point tastefully They didn't actually have to be naked or anything like that. They could have got their point of view of a training video tastefully, legally, without invading people's rights, using models and actors, instead of going out sneaking behind people's homes and invading their privacies without them knowing.
It's a good point, Jay.
I think it is a good point, but here's my answer, sir. If you use models, if you use actors, you do not have a real-time response. You don't have a real-time visceral response, and that's what we're looking for here. It's the same reason why police officers use in training real gunfire and stuff. You know, they'll shoot like a pig or something, and it's not a human, but they'll shoot something.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so
you don't shoot a human, you shoot a pig, so you do something similar. You don't actually have to do the literal thing.
Right.
Well, there's no way to do that with a peeping Tom. You've got to get a real woman. And I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. I mean, how do you make that up? How do you say, now I'm going to put a camera in a window, and a woman's going to be in there with no pants on, and that's somebody I know who I hired? I don't think so. There's not a woman I know that's going to do it.
Oh, okay. That's just great. So let's go find a woman, an innocent woman, who doesn't know.
Well, still, any woman that knows that's happening is not of the highest morality. You know?
Well, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is if I hire a woman to stand there nude while I got a camera looking at her while she's grooming it, God!
She's a whore or something?
Well, it's not the highest. It's porn. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, Dale? Dale, you're in the Bakersfield area. Do you know the Bakersfield Colonels? Do you know who they are? The Bakersfield Colonels in Kern County are the auxiliary police agency in Bakersfield, California. And I suggest you talk with them, go in, read the brochures, read some of the material, talk to the sub-commanders up there, talk to Commander Glahn, who has been with the Bakersfield Colonels. He's going to let you know, because they do the very similar thing. They go window to window, door to door, and they've got some footage. The women, you never know who they are. You know, you're looking at it.
So these guys are up there taking film footage. The women never know that they've been had their pictures taken, and these guys are looking at this as training.
Well, okay. I guess I'm sorry I said that, because now...
You bet. Now I know it's happening in Bakersfield. Thanks very much, Dale. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. As we talk here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, how did this husband discover that you guys were at his window taking a digital video picture of his wife?
Well, you're talking about Jim Jensen, and Jim and his wife, Carolyn, they saw me when we brought our crew on property. And Jim wanted to know what we were doing, and I had the camera going through his wife's bedroom window, and we had already caught probably about 15 minutes of her bathing and getting ready for bed. When he came over and he said, "What are you doing?" I told him I was at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It was a training film. I said, "You're more than welcome to look at the footage that we have recorded." He did, went back to the truck with Major Elvis Newton. Major Newton calmed him down and showed him the footage. We went into the house, explained it to both of them. I even offered to give them money, which they turned down initially, but then they went ahead and accepted that.
You gave them money?
Well, yes. We cut them a check for $2,000 so that they would feel covered. This is not anything, Phil, that we haven't done before. They did not want to feel as if his wife, some kind of whore or slut. And
so you paid them $2,000 for a piece of footage of the guy's wife undressing and dressing and everything else. And
this is not going to be shown publicly, is what I'm trying to say.
Only to your sub-commanders.
That is correct.
877-876-7445. Here is Conrad in New York. Conrad, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Mr. Santos, haven't you ever realized you are breaking the law? You are a fledgling servant of the law, and
the
law.
If the intent, sir, is to look at a woman in a dirty way or a prurient way, yes, yes. I agree with you 100%. I'm breaking the law. But if the intent is to capture digital footage...
Okay, you just admitted it. You just admitted to a crime, okay?
No, sir, because I was not looking at her.
You should have get yourself arrested.
I wasn't looking at her. No, because you're wrong. I wasn't looking at her to get my sexual, you know, kicks and thrills.
You're talking about, you know, her shaving and getting graphic and, like, you're getting off on it. You know,
no, sir.
That is beyond the law. There, you in the under the guise of teaching the law, you're breaking the law. It's like, you know, don't shoot heroin, but oh, here, shoot this. You know what?
No, sir, I'm not. I am not breaking the law because
you. This man is right. You talked about in very graphic.
I'm not breaking the law because I'm not doing it to get my cookies. Okay, if you're doing it to get your cookies. You understand?
Okay, well, invite the desk sergeant down from your local police headquarters.
There you go. There you go. Why don't you invite the local police down?
Invite to do what? They know that what I'm doing. I don't understand. Why should I do that?
Because so to make sure the cops see what you're doing, to make sure you're covered, and to make sure it's legal.
Well, I'll tell you what. When the police start... What's that?
Put on a little seminar for them. I'd like to see you do that. Because you know,
well, you know what?
If you did that, they would lock your ass up and gone. Excuse me.
No, sir. I don't believe that at all. And to be honest with you, the day they invite me to come along on some of their little jaunts to the donut store or however, then I'll invite them on my job. You know, that's the way you want to play that. If that's the way they want to play it,
you
want to play it like that.
You are a police officer, and that's your point of... Police officers, the police.
No, sir, I do not want to be. I am a citizen's auxiliary. I don't want to be police officer. There's too much politics involved. I want to be a citizen's auxiliary.
Then you're playing. Then you're playing.
No, I'm not playing.
You're play acting, breaking the law.
No, sir.
And just living in this, your little fantasy world.
No, sir, I am trying to improve on the techniques of the police. And
how can you improve on the techniques of the police when you don't even know what their techniques are and you don't even know what the law is?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. I'm trying to improve. We've got peeping Toms out there, okay? You agree on that one, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we stop them? The first way is to see what are they doing? What are they looking at? And maybe we can stop doing... You guys are really stupid.
You're breaking the law. You're breaking the law. Don't you
what
get
law
it?
Am I asking? No, I'm not breaking a law when my intent is to take
your
film footage. It's not to have, it's not to, you know, go back to the, it's not to go back to the shed, chase everybody out of there, turn the lights off, lock the door, and get my cookies.
Okay.
I mean, you guys.
No, it's not you guys. We're just trying to figure out.
You guys, I tell you what you do. You go get yourself a box of Krispy Kreme, and you learn how to be a cop, and I'll do what I'm doing.
All right. 877, thanks very much, Conrad. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. In creating this training footage that he has been showing his sub-commanders. Now, this is an auxiliary police agency, not one that is accredited by the state. They have created what they call a point-of-view video. They go from a bedroom window to bedroom window with a camera mounted on a helmet as they take images of women dressing and undressing. In other words, peeping Toms. And then they go back and they look at this as a training exercise. What do you think about that? From the standpoint of training police, is it a violation of a woman's rights if the intent is not anything other than to train police officers? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry show. Next hour, we're going to be talking with Art Griego about the Southwest Airlines incident in which there was a pilot who had gotten on and talked disparagingly about the crews that he serves with, the Southwest crews, and how they are nothing much to party with because they're old and they're ugly and they're gay. And we'll talk with Art about that at the top of the hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You've heard the outrage of people here, Jay. You've heard them saying that you are breaking the law. You've heard them saying that you are invading their privacy. You've heard them saying that this is nothing that any law-abiding person would welcome. What do you say to that? You are there with a camera.
I mean, the thing I say...
You're there with a camera, and you are looking in bedroom windows, and you are recording the actions of women who are unclothed or disrobed, and you're taking that back, and for the private use of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as a training film, you're viewing this without the knowledge of the wife, without the knowledge of the husband.
One of the reasons why we came on your program tonight, Phil, was not just to defend ourselves against what we think are scurrilous attacks, what have come from the Santa Monica newspaper as well as the South Bay newspaper. One of the reasons why we have come on your program tonight is to tell those individuals who may be affected by our activities that they are more than welcome anytime to visit our substation. And as I mentioned, this week it is at Subcommander Gleason's house. He has a shed which is in the, I think, the back southeastern corner of his property, which is what we're using right now as a substation. And
what do you mean by a shed? What does that mean, a shed?
Well, it's a part of, it was a shed that he originally had put together for equipment. And we cleared it out and pulled, there were some lawnmowers in there and pulled those out. And that's where we process anybody we detain. And
you're using that as a substation?
That's correct, yes, sir.
A tool shed in someone's backyard?
We are not, yes, sir. We're the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are using part of our homes we write off for tax purposes as offices.
All right, go ahead.
So did you bring that up to embarrass me? I mean,
well, you said to me that there's a shed in the guy's backyard.
I mean, I told you there's a shed because you keep asking me where is it or where do you do or.
No, I was just, you said that you took this digital footage back to a substation and viewed it. You said there's a shed, so you brought it up.
Yes, there's a shed. That's all I needed to say, is there's a shed. There's a shed, and that's it. And you start asking me, well, really, is it a tool shed? Oh, wow, and you're pulling lawnmowers out of it?
You told me that you're pulling lawnmowers out of it. I didn't know. I'm asking you, so you're using a tool shed?
Yeah. God, man. So, in other words, you brought me on your show tonight just to get to this point where I would say to you that I use as a substation a place where we usually keep lawnmowers and fertilizer. Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's it, Jay. That's, I planned for this entire moment.
Oh, God.
Phil Hendry.
I hope you burn.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I think it's totally wrong. It doesn't belong in the Catholic religion.
Supper of Hummus is manufactured by the Strasburg, a company that strongly...
Oh, you mean the food stamps?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You use those too?
Maria found out months ago, has been, I am told, literally inconsolable.
What comes next is entirely up to you.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. An image of a topless male in a magazine is censored by some retailers. Why? Well, it's an androgynous picture. He looks like a woman. That's basically what that means, androgynous. Joining us to discuss it this hour is Reverend David Castorini of his Castorini Youth Ministries, 877-876-7445, as we continue this inexorable march into the future. toward the ultimate goal, which is truth, freedom, peace out. All right. 877-876-PHIL, and don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. We have live Phil TV in HD every night, so you can watch the show while you're bathing or, while, you know, whatever.
Bathing?
Sure. I mean, you can stream the show mobile on your iPhone or on your Droid. You can watch it on your desktop. You can do whatever you want with it. It's Phil TV at philhendryshow.com, and that is, as I said, one of the features that we have, and we archive those for 5 days. We also have our daily podcasts, and we have our merchandise, so check it out. 877-876-PHIL. Now, this story here is, how do you pronounce this guy's name? Andres Pejic? I don't know how the man's name is pronounced, but anyway, how do you pronounce his name? Andres Pejic. He's a model from Australia, and he is a model who specializes in a kind of a female look, I guess is the best way to say it. He's done a great many pictures of himself looking like a woman. He's not a drag queen. He doesn't cross-dress. He just has really long hair. He has very feminine features. And there is a photograph of him here on the cover of Dossier magazine, which is the most recent controversial photograph of him, where he's taken his shirt off, and he has, as I said, he's got very feminine features. He's got his hair curled in a sort of a female-looking hairstyle, and the whole effect is, like I said, androgyny, a man who's sort of morphing into, or I don't know if you want to call it crying game, you know, or that kind of a thing. Dossier magazine has been put into a wrapper by many of the newsstands that carry it. Now, it would be just my luck. These are two U.S. book retailers. As I said, it would be just my luck if all of this was taking place in Australia, but some of it's happening here in the United States. They're covering the magazine with a wrapper because they're saying that it is obscene. And why is it obscene? Well, we're going to get to that here with David Castorini, who is a youth minister with Castorini Ministries on the show. And, David, thanks for joining us. And I guess what we're saying here is it's a very subjective thing, obscenity. When you look at this picture, it doesn't look obscene to me. It looks unusual.
So I think that's a very good point. I think it is a very unusual picture. And it's not unusual to see the kind of imaging that the modeling agencies, advertisers, and so forth will use. That's not unusual at all. What is unusual, though, I think, is that this photograph has obtained the notoriety that it has.
I don't think I've ever heard of a picture quite like this that has become controversial in the mainstream. It's a now I mentioned the movie The Crying Game. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
All right. So remember when people were shocked to find out that that was a woman?
Well, you and I talked. I thought that was interesting because I, at no time was I ever fooled into thinking. I always felt that was a man. He looked like a man. Obviously had, as you mentioned about this picture of Mr. Pejic, very feminine features, and was dressed as a female. But there are things, I think, that are distinctly male about the human form that you cannot get away from, whether they talk about the Adam's apple. I don't know if that's true or not. For me, it's generally there's always some kind of coloring on the face that connotes a beard, or there is a more of a squareness to the jaw. I don't think I'm ever quite fooled. This picture here of this young man can almost do it. But you still know that it's a man.
We're talking here with David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries about a magazine cover showing a male model by the name of Andres Pejic. He's a male model who specializes in a sort of an androgynous or female look. It's such a female look, he's taking his shirt off, that there's some booksellers that want to censor the cover. If you think this is a woman, you obviously think it's a pretty skinny woman.
You do. But we've had examples, I think, in modern culture, in some pornography, of topless women who have very, very small chests. And so it's not as if we haven't seen the image before. But in this image, you can definitely imagine that it's a woman because of the hair. I think if his hair was cut normally and it wasn't in the curlers, I think you'd have a different kind of a reaction, I think.
Well, what do you think is the danger of this?
Well, I don't think there's any danger. I think you're going to have a lot of men who are straight men who, and it's a, I want to let you know something, Phil. It's totally normal. And I get calls. I got a call, in fact, from a couple of members of our congregation who saw this photograph, and immediately were upset because they knew it was a man, but they were a little bit aroused by it. Now, these are heterosexual men. These are straight men.
They were aroused, though, by this picture, and they knew it was a man?
They knew it was a man. Even if you don't know it's a man, if you think it's a woman, and you're aroused by this photograph, and then you find out it's a woman, you should not be worried. And that was my message to them. Don't, it's totally normal, I think, for a man, a heterosexual man, to look at another man who looks very, very feminine, and to be interested. It's happened to me.
I can't say that that's ever happened to me.
Well, if you're honest with yourself, I think you would say...
No, I can tell you right now, I've never been aroused by another man in the sense that you're talking. That is, to see a picture and to say, wow, look at that. It's a guy, but it still looks really sexy.
Well, it is a man who is very feminine. It's a man who is extremely feminine. It's a man who has his hair curled. He is portraying the look of a woman, Phil. If you see the photograph that I'm looking at here,
No, I just put it up on our screen here on our video cast. I know exactly what you're talking about. So, but you're saying to me that there are some men that came to you and were aroused by this.
Yeah, I had two or three members of my congregation who were straight men who saw the picture because they knew that I was going to be on your program talking about it. And they called me up and said, you know, Reverend Dave, that I know that's a man, but at the same time, it looks like a woman. And I got momentarily aroused by that. I said, don't worry about that. I think it's very normal, and I think it's going to happen to a lot of guys across the country. I want them to know that, not to be worried about it. You can see your doctor if you want to. I don't think you have to. Don't be worried about that. That's, I think, what makes people afraid of pictures like this, because a perfectly normal heterosexual man is going to look at a picture of another man who looks like a woman, and he's naturally going to be attracted to it. And men get very nervous about that, and I don't think they should. I think it's completely normal.
And well, what about those of us who don't?
If you don't get aroused by that, then you have sort of, you've shut that part of your brain off, where you're open to the possibilities. See?
Yeah, but I'm a heterosexual. Okay.
I understand that. So am I, Phil. And so are the men that I'm talking about.
All right. You're talking about heterosexual men. I see that. I see that's a man. I'm not aroused by that at all, even though I see he's got his hair in curlers or whatever the hell it is he's doing. And there may be a shape to this guy's hips that look feminine. Nonetheless, he looks like a guy.
Right. He looks like a guy to you, and he looks like a guy to me, and he looks like a guy to all of the other men I've talked to. But the other men I've talked to, with the exception of yourself, Phil, and maybe one or two others, all of us, initially, of course, were aroused by that. Why wouldn't you be? He looks like a woman. And
he looks like a woman, and so when you say you're aroused by that, what does that mean?
Well, it means that you see a potential sex partner.
And you see a woman?
You see a woman, yeah. You know it's a man, though. But you come to accept momentarily that having sex with a man may be a very normal thing, because look at what he, look at how he inspires you, you see.
Now, you're a Christian minister.
That is correct, Phil, right.
And you see homosexuality as a sin.
I do, but hold on for a minute. This is not homosexuality. That's your problem you're having?
If a man is attracted to another man, I'm not saying he's a homosexual, but is that not homoerotic?
No, it is. No, not if he is aroused by that man because the man looks like a woman. He knows it don't make you gay if you're attracted to another guy who looks very feminine. That don't make you gay. All right? Is that? And I think that's the thing you're having a hard time with. I'm perfectly straight. And the men in my congregation are all straight. Homosexuality is a sin. All right? I want to be very clear on that. It is against God's law. And our youth ministry, we deal with young gay people all the time. So we love them. We love them. And we give God's love to them. But it is a sin. However, in this instance, looking at a young man who has his hair in curlers and he's pushing his chest out like he's got breasts, you're going to very naturally be attracted to that and see that as a birth mother or someone that you would want to have babies with. It's a man.
You are attracted to a man. Isn't that, for that moment at least, a homosexual instinct?
No, it is not, Phil. You're really mixing it up. And
what? No, it isn't. You're saying no, it isn't.
No, it is not. No, I'm a Christian minister. I would never, ever engage in that kind of act.
Would you have sex with this guy?
I'm saying I'm aroused and attracted to him. I'm married. Okay.
If you weren't married, would it be a sin to have sex with this guy?
It would be a sin to have sex with a man. Yes. But you're having sex with a man that looks like a woman. And so, in a lot of ways, all bets are off.
And all right, so if guys in your congregation had sex with this guy and told you about it, you'd say all bets are off, it's okay, it's not gay sex because he looked like a chick.
I wouldn't put it quite like that, but...
Well, that's what you're saying, though.
Basically, I'm saying that that young man has his hair in curlers, he's pushing his chest out, just as you said, he's got very seductive hips. So you would say to members of my, I would say to members of my congregation, all bets are off, don't sweat it, you had sex with a woman, all right?
But they didn't have sex with a woman, do you understand? You know,
Phil, I know a lot of things, and the Bible tells us that many things will frustrate, but many more things will clarify, and I think you need to put your ego on the back burner and understand that, Reverend Castorini and my congregation, we, believe me, we are not into homosexual sex. We're into straight sex.
Even though you're having sex with a man...
That looks like a woman.
That looks like a woman. 877, all right, Reverend Dave, this is a picture. You'd have to see it on my website or wherever you can find it. What happened to that, man? Oh, maybe we, I see. It's a picture here of the model Andres Pejic. It was censored by Borders. It was censored by Barnes & Noble. He looks androgynous. He's a man, but he could be deemed as a naked female. And as a result of that, they have asked this to be put in a wrapping. You just heard Reverend Castorini, who is a Christian minister, saying he believes homosexual sex is a sin. But in this case, this guy looks so much like a woman to be attracted to him and aroused by him and maybe even have sex with him is perfectly fine. I don't know how he comes to that conclusion. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And we'll be back with Dave Castorini in just a minute, but I want to tell you about a new show sponsor here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's called Life Change Tea. They are a new sponsor to our program, and I'm going to tell you, Life Change Tea is it's a life changer. It's a game changer. Life Change Tea is an all-natural, all-organic blend specially formulated, here's that word, to detoxify and cleanse those kidneys, your liver, your colon, and your blood all at once. People who want to lose weight, are going to benefit from this great-tasting, non-caffeinated tea. You got a 45-day money-back guarantee on all Life Change Tea products. There's no gimmicks, just results. A happier you. I want you to call this number or go to their website. Here's the number first, 877-724-5177, 877-724-5177. Or go to their website, getthetea.com. That's G-E-T-T-H-E-T-E-A, getthetea.com. It's a great tea. It's a detoxifier. It's a cleanser. It's the bomb. It is Life Change Tea. And, you know, you're just going to be amazed at how good you feel. Get a hold of Life Change Tea, and we're going to be telling you more about Life Change Tea as the days progress, okay? GetTheTea.com, and don't forget, when you go over there or when you call them, tell them Phil Hendry sent you Life Change Tea. All right, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Dave Castorini from the Youth Ministries. We're talking about this androgynous picture of this model, Andrej Pajic. And when I say androgynous, a young man, he looks like a female to the point that they've actually put wrapping on this picture in some of the bookstores around the country. Dave, your comment here as a Christian minister that being attracted to this young man is not gay, and to have sex with him is not gay.
No, hold on for a minute, Phil. Please don't call into question my very ministry.
Well, you're saying you could have sex with this guy.
It's for all intents and purposes, it's a woman. Look at it. That's what I'm saying. In other words, if you're a straight man and you are aroused by that, that's not a sin. Look at it.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jeremy on the Phil Hendry Show here with Reverend Castorini. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, my thoughts behind it is, like I said before, if, you can... Things are like they are on the outside, but go down to the genetic material. It's a man, and
well, that's understandable. You know, that's understandable. But you are aroused by it, and you're straight, and you can look at that picture of that man. I don't know if you've seen the one that Phil has on his website or not, but the picture of this man is one that very feminine.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's got his hair in curlers. He's a blonde. He's got very feminine features. It's like that guy in what was the movie? The
Crying Game.
The Crying Game. Yeah. But it's still a dude, you know.
It is. You're absolutely right. It's still a dude.
So
not to you, not to me, not to Jeremy. It's a woman, and to be aroused by him is not gay. That's what I'm trying to say. You're not gay if you have sex with it.
Well, I don't know how that's.
If you knew that was a man, but yet saw the picture, are you still aroused?
I think any man is, yes.
No, I'm asking you, sir.
Well, yes, of course I am. Of course I am. Any man would be.
I'm not. Does that make...
Well, Phil, I if you're being honest, okay, but...
I'm being very honest. I'm not.
Well, that makes one of you, you know. That makes one of you.
All right. Jeremy, have you seen the picture at all, sir? This guy,
no,
Jeremy, you there?
I haven't. Actually, I'm on the road.
All right.
When you stop off and you get the news,
yeah, take a look at it. Take a look at it. 877-876-PHIL. We're here with David Castorini.
So, the thing that is, I think the thing that's concerning men, and I'm here to tell them not to be concerned, is they're afraid that if they see the picture of this young man with his shirt off and his, his hair in curlers, and he looks like a woman, and they want to have sex with it, they're going to think they're gay. You're not gay. You're straight. You're healthy. You love women.
And one man.
No, no, no.
All right, 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
No!
The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Reverend Dave Castorini. Now, Reverend Castorini and I were talking during the break, and he wanted me to look up a picture here of this man, Andrzej Pejcz, who is a model and is, in point of fact, a model that specializes in an extremely feminine look. You can obviously tell it's a guy, but he's got some poses going on here that are super, super feminine. I don't know which one you were discussing. We get the Reverend back on the phone there, bud. I don't know which one he was discussing, but I think he meant that there was one in a bathtub.
Yeah, this guy, he's laying in a bathtub.
Let me see where it is, man. I don't have it. What we'll have to do here is just wing it or something. I don't know. But let me get Reverend Castorini back up on the phone here. Our number is 877-876-7445. And, Reverend, tell me what the picture looked like.
Well, it's a, obviously it's a photograph of this model. He is in a laying in a bathtub, and he is wearing women's undergarments. And I would challenge any man looking at that picture not to think it was a woman and want, obviously, to get to know her, him, it, however you want to say it.
Here's one here. I don't know if this is exactly what you're talking about. I've got to X this thing out. But it's pretty bizarre looking. This cat is in some sort of an upper wrap, and he's... do you see the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, that right there. That is a perfect example of how much he looks feminine. And look at the hair. And
well, I don't know about that. I mean, to me, that's a guy dressed... It could be a gay man affecting some sort of a provocative or evocative or erotic kind of wear, but nonetheless, that's a man.
Well, I don't know where you're getting that.
Okay, I'll tell you where I'm getting it. I'm going to scroll the picture down here. For those of you who are following along on our website, that's obviously a man. I've scrolled down to his to the man's hips.
I can see a little bit of evidence of what you're talking about, but look at the hips. Those are a woman's hips.
No, those look like a man's hips to me. But
well, again, Phil, you talk about being having a sort of a delusional look. I think there might be a little delusional thing going on with you because if that isn't a woman, and I think any man seeing that, even a man like myself, and I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian man, but that makes my hands sweat. And I know it's a man, but it's a woman.
877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show here with Reverend Castorini as we talk about this very interesting androgynous photograph. Here is Ben in Yakima, Washington. Go ahead, Ben. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Reverend Dave.
Yeah, just had a couple of things I wanted to say. I don't know what kind of person would agree with somebody looking at that picture and saying, oh, okay, this man is very handsome. You know, I would like to have sex with him, but...
I don't say that.
You agree with him having sex. You just said that you agree with him having
sex. Right, but I don't say it's a good-looking man.
Okay.
I don't say it's a good-looking man. I say it's a good...
You're looking at a man. I mean, I see a man. I don't not get aroused by that. If you get aroused by that, then you have some...
No, I think you would be.
...going on, then you might be gay. Then you are gay.
No, I'm not gay. No, I'm not gay. I'm straight. And I think if you saw the picture I'm talking about, this gentleman's name is what, Phil?
This is Ben.
Ben, if you saw the picture I'm looking at, you'd be ready to go, too. I mean, I'm a married man. Of course, I would never cheat on my wife. But I'm saying,
I just don't agree with you saying it's okay to have sex with a man. And you're a minister. I'm kind of concerned about what kind of stuff you're teaching.
No, sir. I'm not saying. I'm saying homosexuality is a sin. There's no question in my mind. But when you have a man that looks this much like a woman to the point where it is a woman...
It looks like a woman to you, not to me.
Do you know the picture I'm talking about? As you talk?
I think, Ben, you did say you saw the picture, right?
Right, yeah. The picture on your website, yes.
Yeah, on the dossier?
That is correct.
All right. So what we're talking about here is a guy that looks like a woman, but is still a guy. It's like,
Phil, you don't understand. If you look at like RuPaul, you know, is a guy, but it looks like a woman. If you look at RuPaul, that's a woman. And for all intents and purposes, I tell my congregation, if you have sex with that, how can you not think of it as a woman?
RuPaul is about 6 foot. I've met RuPaul, in fact, as a guy. I mean, I know what that guy looks like.
Well, I'm not talking about that, am I? What you've just done there, you did that on purpose to destroy. What I'm saying is Mr. Henry went ahead and tried to destroy what I'm saying by saying, well, I've seen RuPaul as a dude, and he's about 6 foot five of ugly. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He's about 6 foot five of ugly.
Well, that, if I were you, I'd disregard what's being said, Ben, because you know what RuPaul looks like. Wouldn't you do that? And I'm saying that if you were straight, and et cetera. I mean, you are straight, et cetera, right?
What are you asking the man? If you'd have sex with RuPaul?
Yeah, I mean, I'm over here trying to... I can't believe that you just asked me that question. No. Both of you guys are making a joke out of this, and this is deadly serious. You've got straight men who are being seduced by these images. They cannot be told they're homosexuals. They have to remember that they're straight. They had sex with a woman. It's a dude, yeah. Okay, but they're not gay. They're not gay.
I'm sorry.
They're looking at a man and they get aroused and they're not gay. I don't know. There's a picture you have on your website right now. You have a picture on your website right now, Mr. Pajic. Looks like a chick, got a cigarette.
Looks like a guy, man. It looks like a very effeminate guy. Look at the arms. Look at the elbow on the guy. He's got the cigarettes. He doesn't have the nails of a woman. He's got a man's hand. His hair is blonde. His hair is long. He's got a pretty face, and that's about it. That's all I will grant you. 877-876. Isn't that, you know...
No, Phil, you're not being objective. That's what's going on. You don't want to be seen as a homosexual. And so you're not being objective.
I don't personally give a damn what people think of my sexuality. They want to think I'm a homosexual, but I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you, I'm not aroused by that.
You're not aroused by that. Well, you're all alone, because I'm telling you there are millions of men that look at that, and that's a good, you know, I'll make a joke, that's a good Friday night and part of a Saturday night, too. That's a hell of a Friday night and a big chunk of Saturday night, if I were single.
And you'd have sex with that? And you'd think you're straight.
You'd have to. You would have no choice but to think you're straight.
877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show with Crystal. Go ahead, Crystal. You're on with Reverend Castorini.
Hello. Hi. I'm the first-time listener to your show.
Yes, ma'am.
I was calling in because I was understanding what the Reverend was saying, and I think what he's trying to say is that if a normal, healthy man who's attracted to women sees a man who they think is a woman because that man looks like one, and he would be naturally attracted. However, where you lose me is you say that once you realize that that woman is actually a man, it would still be okay to have sex with that man because he looks like a woman, and that would not make you gay. I'm lost.
Ma'am, first of all, you've had a very, very, the man, and this is something that is very uniquely male, you have a very male response. You look and see a feminine figure and feminine feature. You get the nurturing back that men find so valuable. And so now he is locked into it as if it's a woman. Now you say to him, no, it's a man. The clothes come off, however you want to say it, and take a look, and is that a man or isn't that a man? Yes, it is, and yet I'm straight. I know I'm straight. There's no way you're going to say I'm not straight.
You're saying that it is a man. The clothes come off. You see that it's a man, and you're going to continue.
Yes.
You're going to go ahead and still have sex with that man because initially you thought it was a woman, and you're straight?
Because
and this is
I
what
have,
you're telling
I,
people because, in your congregation?
Yes, ma'am. Because what's happened is you have you have imprinted and locked onto that person as a woman. You are straight. You know you're straight. There's no way you'd have sex with a man. You've already, what do they call it in racing? You've primed the engine. And you fall in love. You have sex with it. You may see it again. And
what, you know, I notice you're saying it. I notice you're not using the...
What do you want me to say?
Why don't you call it her?
I don't understand.
Well, you're saying it. You don't want to say him, but you don't want to say her. Why is that?
It's not necessary. I know it's a woman.
Then call her her.
No, I'm going to call it it.
You're going to call it it. So if you're calling it it, then you're it's okay to have sex with inanimate objects also. I mean, it's a man.
No,
or
it,
a woman.
It's not it's not an inanimate.
Exactly.
If you are a man and you are having sex with another man with the same genitalia, with a person with the same genitalia as you, I am also sorry, sir. You are gay. That's the bottom line.
No.
Tell your congregation
you don't understand.
That.
No, ma'am. You don't understand.
Reverend Castorini, with all due respect, I don't think you understand.
It's a woman because you look at it. Ma'am, did you see the picture? I don't think you can comment unless you've seen this man that you call a man. It's a woman.
No, it doesn't matter.
No way.
It doesn't matter. I don't have to see the picture. A man dressed up looking like a woman is a man at the end of the day. Let me just say this one thing.
Look at right there. Right there. Check it out. Anna.
All right, she can't see. We've got a picture on my website, Crystal, of Mr. Pajic. The very pouting lips, the long blonde hair. He's wearing a skirt. He looks like he might even have his nails done.
And you're aroused, Mr. Henry, as are other straight men.
I'm not aroused by that. No, I'm not.
Why are you telling him that? Why are you telling him he's aroused? You're aroused because you have homosexual tendencies, sir. That's the issue. I'm sorry if you don't want to admit that, but you should come out the closet.
You are so wrong. I'm a Christian minister. There's no way on earth I'm gay.
And Christians can't be homosexual?
No, it is a sin. I'm not a homosexual. I am attracted to women. Look at it. No, I'm having sex with what is essentially imprinted as a female.
Let me ask this question, Crystal, pardon me, just a second. If you go ahead and have the clothes come off, just like you said.
That is correct.
And now you're looking at basically you. You're not looking at you, but you're seeing another man, just as Crystal said.
Find it funny, Phil? I'm trying to answer this question without laughing, all right?
I'm sorry, but it's... So you now engage in sex with that individual. You are having sex in a very specific way that is not necessarily the kind of sex you have with a female.
It's not heterosexual.
All right, okay.
Oh, you want to bet? Yeah, I've never had that kind of sex with a female, huh? Wow. Where have you been?
Oh, wow.
Well, get a load of the minister. Get a load of the Christian minister.
Excuse me?
Because I will not go there. No kidding, man.
Get a load of the Christian minister now.
You ask, come on, get real.
You get real, man.
Yeah, and Let me ask you a question. By the way, RuPaul does not look like a woman. RuPaul looks like a man dressed as a woman. But you find RuPaul attractive too, huh?
I think every man that's ever seen RuPaul at one time or another was attracted to her.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I'm very, very sorry that the two of you had to make a joke out of it. Well, this is deadly serious, and that is the maintaining. I'm a straight man, and I'm maintaining I'm straight, even if I had sex with a dude.
You're mistaken. You're not straight if you have sex with a dude, okay? No, you're not.
How do you figure that, ma'am?
How does she figure? I just got done telling you that if you're having...
all right, you know.
We're going to take a break. Crystal, I got to get on the phone here with the Reverend and calm him down. Thank you very much for your call.
Outstanding call.
877-876-7445. We'll be back here with Reverend David Castorini as we talk about this androgynous model, Andrich Pajic, who is a, as we say, androgynous, is a man who is very feminine in feature and style and pose, and to the point where they literally wanted to put a wrapper on the magazine he was on the cover of. This is a guy who's, he's got a man's chest, but for some reason he's perceived as very, very feminine. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And that's what I did.
Well, you can tell my audience that. By the way, we're talking here with Reverend Dave Castorini of Castorini Youth Ministries about the male model, Andrzej Pajic from Australia. He is a model specializing in this sort of feminine look, and we've got a picture of him on our website right now. This is him dressed in, he looks there's like an Asian kimono or something.
I've tried to make the point that when you look at a picture like that, you're seeing a woman, and you have said, no, it's a man. Of course it's a man, genetically, but you are imprinting it as a woman. When I was in college, I had a date with a young lady one night that went very well indeed. I never hit it off with anyone quite that well. When the end of the evening came about and we said goodnight, of course we kissed, and we got very much involved, sitting in my car. And eventually I found out that she had a man's genitalia.
And so it was a man.
It was a woman.
That just happened to have a man's genitalia.
No, not just happened. Yes, it was a man, but it was a woman. All night long it was a woman. And yes, I had sex with it as a woman. Now, how does that make me gay?
It makes you gay because you had sex with a guy.
I had sex with a woman. I never would have gone out with a guy. Okay?
How long did you date this woman?
We were together for 2 years.
You know something, Dave?
No, I see what you're saying. You're saying because I was with this woman for 2 years, but it was a man, that I'm gay. You're not a homosexual. And this is the thing, there's so many men troubled by this, Phil, in my congregation, who say, am I a homosexual? I'm attracted to a RuPaul or whoever. I fantasize. I said, no, because that you're being fooled and tricked into thinking it's a woman.
877-876-7445 with Dave Castorini of the Youth Ministries. Here is Don in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Don. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, yes. How you doing, Phil? This is my
first time.
I just like to say to Dave here that, you know, God is going to really hold you accountable for what you're doing to those people in that church, you know, because you're making them think that it's all right. I mean, who are you to change God's creation, even if it's in your own eyes? I mean, that's the way the devil got Eve. He made
her
wonder.
To change God.
I wonder what it'd be like if I bite this fruit. You know,
I'm not trying to change God. I'm saying,
remember that you are tripod.
I'll bet.
Because I know what
they do.
Are. I'm not attracted to them. You know.
I wouldn't be either. I'm just saying if you
trying to get all of my points.
Chick.
Okay.
Right.
There's
okay.
Nothing that you can say to get me. To accept a man as a woman because then
you gotta see this girl. She's beautiful.
It's not a girl.
Oops, I made a mistake. I didn't know he didn't make no shams out here. I mean
I didn't
first thing to do to themselves. And at the end I feel sorry for your congregation. You will bust hell wide open in a gasoline suit going down on a grease pole as quick as possible. If you continue with that notion in your mind, because you are spreading, you're poisoning the minds of your congregation. You're not giving them a fair chance to grow spiritually, and now they're going to be confused. I think hell is going to be paved with preachers like you.
I think that by recognizing that it's really a woman,
I'm in a gasoline suit. I'm going down an oil pool, but there's a big bag of salt at the bottom. That's how I feel.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much for your call, sir.
Wow.
Oh, don't give me that wow.